You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
And there is a word. And I ask that you turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Pastor finished off last Sunday with this verse in the ending of his sermon. I just want to take it a little further this morning. That's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And when you found your place there, could you say amen? Amen. And the word of God reads, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Would you pray for me as I pray? Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. We just want to say thank you, your Lord God. Thank you yet again for another day. For truly your mercies are fresh each and every morning. Lord, we thank you for us coming to your house of prayer, your house of worship this morning. As we are here to lift up your name, Lord God, as we are here to hear a word from you that will help us along the way. Oh, Father God, I ask right now that you would touch each and every one of us here with hearts to receive and ears to hear what thus says the Lord. Oh, Lord, do it right now in the name of Jesus, from the pulpit to the back door, from the back door to the pulpit. Have your way right now, Lord God. Touch me as your preacher right now, Lord God. Touch me and speak in and through me, Lord God. Oh, Lord, anoint me from my head to my toe, Lord God. Give me Holy Ghost boldness right now that I may declare your word. Oh, Lord God, touch me now that I will preach as though it is a matter of life and death. And I, Lord God, I ask right now that you will touch the ears right now, Lord God, that everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, will choose life in you and life more abundantly. Oh, Father God, I just simply say, have your way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Somebody say, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And for a subject this morning, if you will, Jesus said, go. Now I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, Jesus said, go. Jesus spoke these words, this final commandment to his disciples after God the Father had raised him from the grave and shortly before he ascended into the heavens. The suffering of Jesus was over. The work of salvation and redemption had been completed. Jesus had made a way for us through the shedding of his blood. The Bible said if there had not been any shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. So then Jesus says to his disciples, I have been given all authority, all power in heaven and earth. Jesus had been given this authority and power through God the Father. And now he was telling his disciples to go. Somebody say go. And they were to go on the basis of this power. He was now given to them to go and make more disciples. See, now you got to understand, this is God's power. God's power is infinite. Amen. God's power, you cannot measure it. God's power, you cannot put it in a box. So Jesus was given the disciples, and he's also given us today the authority and power to go and make more disciples. See, this is the same power that parted the Red Sea. The same power that fed the 5,000. The same power that raised the dead from the grave. Now he was imparting that authority and power to us today as disciples to go and make more disciples. Jesus was commissioning them to go. Commission means to be given power to do an act or a duty. See, this is not just a suggestion. This wasn't an option. This wasn't something for them and for us today to take our leave. It's a command. It is also a command for us today to go. And I need to ask myself. You need to ask yourself. We need to ask ourselves, are we going? I heard Jonathan Falwell say one time concerning evangelism, concerning taking the good news. He said, are we moving ahead or are we lagging behind? Are we moving ahead doing what God commanded us to do, or are we lagging behind, not doing it as we should? Are we fulfilling the Great Commission today? Are we going to make disciples? And it's said by Grace Bible Ministries. It says the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Come on, y'all. They said the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. And that means it's been excluded. It's been left out. It don't seem important anymore. The Center for Study of Global Ministry suggests that approximately 13 to 25% of Christians worldwide are actually evangelizing. You hear that? 13 to 25% of Christians are actually going out telling the good news. To me, those numbers are sad. It's sad. And I can only imagine, Reverend, how about if that would be flip-flop? How about if there was 75% to 83% going out in the hedges and highway and telling people about Jesus? How much better this world would be in? How much better this nation would be in? And I look at those numbers to be true in my spirit. We see all the violence. We see everything going on in the world today. We see a lack of love. We see all kind of division. We see families and communities are being destroyed. Are we going? Am I going? I can do much better than what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but ask yourself, are you going? Are we going collectively? Are we going individually? People out there dying every day. And the only thing I have to ask every time I hear that is, did they know Jesus? Did somebody tell them about Jesus? Had they come to place their faith and trust in Jesus? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, go. Are we going? Maybe, Deacon Morgan, a lot of us, the church today, the church in whole, the church in general, have misinterpreted what Jesus said. Maybe we thought he said, stay ye therefore and see how many programs we should schedule for the year. See how many deacon programs we can have. See how many church anniversaries we can have. See how many choir anniversaries we can have. Maybe we think he says, stay ye therefore and just fellowship among yourselves. Stay here among yourselves and preach to the choir instead of reaching out to the lost. Maybe we think he said, stay ye therefore and just concentrate on the building fund. Let's have fundraisers. Let's sell hot dogs, fish dinners, and chicken dinners. He didn't say that. He said, go ye therefore in all nations. See, Jesus has given us a building project, church. And that building project is called lost souls unto Christ. To the kingdom of heaven. To the kingdom of God. That's the building project. Because when we be about that business, the building fund will take care of himself. Jesus said in Luke 19 and 10, that he come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Jesus' mission. That was his vision. That was his objective. That ought to be our mission. That ought to be our vision. That ought to be our objective. To seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says, go. Are we going? The question could be asked, what exactly are we to go and do? Jesus make it plain in the scripture text. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, he says, since you are a disciple, how many here are disciples? How many here are followers of Christ? He says, since you are a disciple, a follower, a pupil, a student who's committed to Jesus Christ, and who look to be like him and follow him, go and make more disciples. So that means you, I, whole body Christ, we need to be missionary minded, right? We are not just to think about it. We're not just to talk about it. But we ought to be about it. Amen? Because we can talk about it. We can think about it. We can just say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. But do we actually go? God, Christ Jesus, want to use us as a vehicle, a conduit, if you will, to take the good news of salvation to a world who's lost in sin and darkness. To take the good news. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ and now has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Whew. He's given us that task. You and I, disciples some 2,000 years ago, now we are disciples too. We need to be going with that good news. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. We as the representatives. So go, God is making his appeal through us. When we speak for Christ, when we plead, come back to God. I had to ask myself that question. And I asked yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Am I pleading with people today to come back to God? Am I finding that important for people to come back to God? Am I doing it? Telling people about Jesus? Telling them how important it is to know Jesus as Savior and Lord? Are we pleading today? Are we just saying, oh, I don't know, I ain't got time today. I got my own agenda. I got my own things to do. When people every day, as I said before, are going away from here. But have we taken the time to tell somebody about Jesus? Have we taken the time to tell them about the good news? Have we taken the time to tell them about the love, the grace, and the mercy, and the forgiveness, and the deliverance that Christ Jesus has brought for the whole wide world? We all, right now, up under the sound of my voice, we can name somebody in our family who don't know Jesus. Question I ask you as well as myself, what are we doing about that? What are we doing about that? Are we just sitting back and say, well, I got mine, let them get theirs? Are we going forth and asking the Lord to help us to go and get that friend, that cousin, that brother, that sister, that mother, that father? Asking for opportunities to be able to share Jesus with them? I said, well, I don't know about that. I know how they are. They might just cuss me out. They might come on, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. But we are to go with that message. Go with it anyway. We don't do the saving. We just to share the good news. We just there to share the gospel. We don't do the saving. Let him do the saving. You go ahead and just plant that seed. Plant that seed. Tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. And tell them with love. Tell them with compassion. Let them see that you care and love for them so much that you want to see them saved. And not spend an eternity separated from God in hell. We got them in our neighborhood. People in our neighborhood we know that don't know Jesus. A lot of times we might just throw our hand up, and sometimes we might not throw our hand up at all. Are you taking time to pray and ask God for opportunities to share Jesus with them? In our workplace, they're talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Are we taking advantage of it? When people come to you, they're talking to you, and I know on my job, a lot of them want me to pray for them. But you got to tell them also about the Jesus who can save their souls. Amen? Because that's the most important thing. Not that their prayers be answered in the sense of taking care of their financial problem or their marital problem or taking care of their sickness. But the most important thing is that they know Jesus, the healing of their soul. Are we telling them about the good news? Are we telling them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son? That so whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Are we telling them about the risen Savior who set the captives free? Are we telling them about Jesus who looked beyond our faults and saw our needs and seen there was in need of a Savior? Are we telling them? So that they too may know and feel the conviction in their heart that they need Jesus and that they will accept Jesus by faith today. Because tomorrow is not promised to none of us. None of us. So this is urgent. Jesus said, go. Are we going? We are to go and plead with them to receive Jesus. To place their faith in Christ Jesus and trust him as Savior and Lord. As Romans 10 says, thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Tell them. As Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal and everlasting life. Tell them. Go. And this one right here. Taking the good news is not just the responsibility of the pastor. It's not just the responsibility of the preacher. It's not just the responsibility of those who have the title missionaries. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us who are born again followers of Christ Jesus. Some may think that, oh, that's the pastor's job. That's the preacher's job. Oh, that's the deacon's job. No, but you look at this scripture right here. If you're a disciple, follow Christ Jesus, it's all of our jobs. Amen? He's commissioned us to go. And it's not an option. It's a command for us to go. And share this message of salvation that only comes in Christ Jesus. We ought to be praying each and every day in our prayer for the opportunity to share Jesus. I know in our prayer we come with our whole list of everything. Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that for me. Oh, Lord, help me with this. Oh, Lord, help me with that. But pray for opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. See, we can get so messed up and so distracted by our own situations that we'll keep our mind on what God wants us to ultimately do. And that's to share Jesus. He said, delight yourself also in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Because you be about him, he's going to be about you. Go. We need to go and tell people what he's done for us. Anybody know that Christ has done something for you? Anybody know that Christ has done something for you? Anybody know how Christ has delivered you from sin? Oh, I know what he's done from this old boy right here. He delivered me from some stuff. Boy, if I was to tell y'all some of the stuff that I used to be involved in, whoa, y'all be like, Greg, Dave, Minister Belton, you used to do that. You used to do this. But Jesus, oh, he saved my soul. He made me whole. I am still a work in progress. Let people know that you ain't perfect, but I got a perfect God living on the inside of me. Woo! And he's working it out for me, and he's working it out for you. Jesus wants us to go. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Can you give somebody an answer today? While you have hope in Jesus, while you trust in Jesus, can you tell them about your story? How he delivered you from darkness and sin? How he brought you out of the muck and miry clay? Can you tell him today that? Can you tell somebody that today? See, people need transparency. We can't walk with our heads all up in the air thinking that we're perfect. Because there's only one perfect, and that's Christ Jesus. Let that person know that, yes, I struggle with this. I struggle with that. But I got somebody on the inside that says, greater he is in me than he is in the world. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Oh, tell somebody. We need to count on the honor and the privilege that the Lord want to use us to call our souls to Christ. I like what Paul says in Ephesians 3:7. By God's grace and mercy,
and power.
I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Woo, Paul said it was a privilege. He was excited about it. It ought to be a privilege to us, and we ought to be excited about it, sharing the good news. See, Paul, he just didn't live the gospel. He declared the gospel. Amen. For he was not ashamed of the gospel because he knew it was the power unto God of salvation. We need to be excited, and it's knowing that it's a privilege and honor that the Lord wants to use us, use you, use me to call lost souls unto Christ, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece. He wants to use us, church. He said, go. And that's why Romans 10 and 14 says in 15, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that's why the scripture says, somebody say, that's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news. Church, do you have beautiful feet this morning? Now, let me just get it right now. I ain't talking about you got a pedicure yesterday. I ain't talking about you got your toenails painted. I get those things every now and then too. But are your feet beautiful? Are you going with the message of salvation to a world that's lost in sin? Are you going in your neighborhood? Are you going in your family? Are you going in your workplace? Are you going? Because he said, if you are going, your feet are so beautiful. Oh, it's going to look better than them painted nails. I'm here to tell you. Oh, I want to have beautiful feet. And I know y'all want to have beautiful feet. So let us go. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the labels are few. Oh, there's a whole lot out there today, y'all. We have opportunities everywhere we turn. But Jesus says in Matthew, it says, but the laborers are few. We got a work to do. We got a work that we're called to do, that we're commissioned to do. Because people out there need to know Jesus and come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we need to go under his spirit and his power and declare that message of salvation with Holy Ghost boldness. Declare that message with love and compassion. That somebody may know Jesus. Jesus said, go. Are we going? What exactly are we to go and do? Well, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Then he says, go and baptize them. Baptize, baptismo in the Greek. Baptizo means to dip or to immerse into water. That means going down in the water, symbolizing Jesus' death, his resurrection, and of our sins, where he took upon our sins. And then been risen up, symbolizing Jesus' resurrection, as we have been risen up in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus himself, church, was baptized. Y'all know the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he baptized Jesus. John the Baptist didn't want to baptize Jesus. He said, Jesus, you ought to be baptizing me. But Jesus said, this is ought to be done to fulfill all righteousness. See, Jesus was baptized, but he didn't know any sin. He didn't need any repentance. He was identifying himself with every sinner who would come in repentance and come to him in faith. And we today, as disciples, we have to be baptized, showing the world that we belong to him. We identify ourselves with him. It's a public announcement, if you will. I've taken off the old and put on the new.
in Christ Jesus. Water baptism don't save you. Only being baptized in the Holy Spirit saves you. Only receiving Jesus Christ saves you. And by receiving him as faith, by faith and trusting in him saves you. But when we do that water baptism, I'm telling everybody, let everybody know that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. The old is passed away, and behold, all things are new. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. And I like what Paul says in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Oh, I have a new walk. I have a new talk. Oh, I'm no longer that old man. Oh, that old man, he tried to put his old ugly head up time to time. But I got somebody on the inside who helped me put a foot on them. And that's the Holy Spirit. Sin has no more power. Sin has no more dominion over you. Then it says, go and baptize them in the name. That's important. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, you see here we say name, not it wasn't plural, it was singular. And that's talking about the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Father, who is the creator of the heavens and earth and everything therein. Baptizing them in the name of the Son, who stepped out of heaven's glory and to give us, give himself as a ransom for you and I, that we might have life and life more abundantly. Baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is the agent and the power that lives within inside of us so we can do the will of God. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go. Are we going? What exactly are we to go and do? Well, we're to go and make disciples, and we are to baptize these disciples. And then Jesus says, go and teach these new disciples. Oh, this is important right here. I thank God for new discipleship classes and memberships classes that we have right here. I thank God for new disciple membership classes that other churches have as well. Because once one comes to give their life to Christ, too many times that person is left to their own devices. Amen. See, what it needs, an older, mature Christian need to take that brother, that sister up under their wing and teach them. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the will of God. Teach them the word of God. Because you know, if we don't disciple them, Satan's going to come in there and put so much on them that they might just end up going back out in the world. So we got to make sure we're discipling and teaching these new believers all about Jesus. Amen. Teaching them the ways, the will, and the word of God. Teach them to observe and obey the commands of God. So if we're going to teach them to obey the commands of God, that means, church, for you and for me, we got to know something ourselves. Come on now. You can't teach somebody something you don't know it yourself. How can I tell somebody something that I don't know for myself? Because if you try to tell somebody something you don't know for yourself, you're going to be to your own devices. You're leading them in a way that you think is right. But it's got to be God's truth. Because it's his truth that's going to make you free. Hallelujah. We need to teach them how to put on the full armor of God. We need to teach them how to put on the helmet of salvation. Teach them how to put on the belt of truth. Teach them how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Teach them how to put the shoes on of the gospel of peace. Teach them how to put on the sword of the spirit. Teach them how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to teach them all these things. Take that brother. Take that sister. Take them up under your wing. Disciple them. Mentor them. And be there for them. Because Satan's going to come. He comes from us as mature Christians. So you better believe that he's going to come to that babe in Christ. So we got to make sure that we're there to disciple them so they can grow and be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. To walk as he walked, talk as he talked, be like him. Because Jesus is the one that told us, let this mind be in you, right? Which was also in Christ Jesus. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is teach them in the word of God, encourage them in the word of God. Help disciple them. As James says, draw closer to God, he'll draw closer to you. You believe that? When you draw close to God, he'll draw closer to you. And how we do that? We do that in word. We do that in prayer. It's so vitally important that a new convert, a babe in Christ, be discipled. Teaching them to obey the word of God. Teaching them the consequences of disobedience. It made me think about Jesus when Matthew 7 and 24 and 27. Jesus said, those who listen to my words and do them, I liken them to a wise man that built that house on a rock. But when that storm came, the wind blew against it, the house stood because it was built. It was founded on a rock. But Jesus went on to say, those who hear my teachings and do not do them, I liken them to a foolish man who built that house on the sand. And then when the storm came, the winds blew, that house collapsed, and great was its collapse. Teach them consequences when we walk in disobedience to God's word. Anybody know that you walking in obedience to God's words to help you along the way? Huh? Anybody know that when you was disobedient to God's word, it messed you up? I know that. I have been disobedient sometimes, and I got the consequences of doing so. Do what God tells you to do. Jesus told the disciples to teach them to observe, to obey the commands I have told you. Obedience is key. Obedience to what he says, not to what the world is dictating to you. The world can dictate a lot of stuff, can't it? Get on that phone, if you will. Get on that TikTok, if you will. Get on Facebook, if you will, and see what is dictating to you. See that? But you got to know the difference. You got to know the difference. Try that spirit and see whether it's of God. Try it. Because if you don't know no difference, you're going to be following everything that world is speaking to you. And it's going to send you away from God. And it's going to have you with a broken fellowship with God. But we need to obey his word, obey his command. And when we're discipling somebody, put emphasis on that. Because the Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want God to direct my path. I want Christ to direct my path. I had enough of the world directing my path. And it just put me down a path of heartache, headache, and pain. But God, the living one, oh, he's going to quench every thirst that you got. He's going to give you everything that you need. Oh, we got to know that. Hallelujah. And as I come to an end here, Jesus told his disciples, I am with you always. Ain't that comforting to know? I am with you always. Oh, the Bible tells us he's Emmanuel, ain't he? He's God with us. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He's always with us. Amen. See, what happened? We leave him. That's what happened. We leave him. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you got to keep your mind stayed on him. Because he's going to fulfill his promise. He certainly is. He's going to fulfill his promise. The thing is, we got to know that promise, believe in that promise, stand on that promise, talk on that promise, and know it for ourselves. Say, Lord, this is what you said, that you're going to be with me. And if you're going to be with me, When I go, I know that this mission is going to be successful. Why? Because it's not my mission, it's your mission. Hallelujah. She's giving us somebody on the inside, the Holy Spirit. As Jesus told the disciples in John 14 and 26, he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you an advocate. And he's going to bring to remembrance everything I have told you. Oh, I'm telling you, church, lean on the Holy Spirit. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Herb, lean on the Holy Spirit. I need to lean on the Holy Spirit. Oh, because my mind can take me all kind of ways. The world can point you all kind of ways. But lean on the Holy Spirit that's on the inside, the help on the inside, the comfort on the inside, the advocate on the inside, who's going to help you along the way, to help you to walk as Jesus would have you to walk, help you to live as Jesus would have you to live, help you to talk as Jesus would have you to talk. He's going to give you everything that you need to fulfill the mission and to do it victoriously. Some 2,000 years ago, if you will, God said, go to Jesus. And Jesus came. He went. Amen. Jesus came down in this old world of darkness and sin. Jesus came down in this world for you and I and the whole wide world to take upon our sin, to take upon our guilty stain, to take upon all our wretchedness. He came. He was obedient to the Father. The way he came here and gave himself as a ransom on Calvary's cross, where he bled, suffered, and died to pay the penalty of sin for you and I, to where we was enemies with God, where we was opposed to God, where we was separated from God. But through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood, we was reconciled to God through the Father, through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. Oh, he came. And he took the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the piercing in his side, the thorn of a crown of thorns on his head. He took all that suffering for you and I, something that we deserve. So it's by his grace, it's by his mercy that we're here today, that we're saved today, that we got our ticket punched when we go into glory in heaven. It's by him and him alone. And as I opened up the doors of the church, there might be someone here today. There might be someone here today who don't know Jesus.